Romans Chapter 2 Sermons by Paul Sejong. Sermon 3 You must receive circumcision of the heart. Romans Chapter 2, verses 12 through 29. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Today's main text is a message where the Apostle Paul diagnoses the spiritual reality of the Jews and reveals who is truly recognized before God. Through the text, we learn that those who have the law or those who have received circumcision are not necessarily God's people, but those who have received circumcision of the heart are the true people of God. The pride the Jews had, circumcision and the law. The nation of Israel is the descendants of Abraham. They are called the nation of Israel, and they are also called Jews. The name Israel is an expression pointing to a country, and the title Jewish nation is also used together. Today's Jews, as the physical descendants of Abraham, consider that they have clear evidence that they are God's people. One of those evidences is that they are a circumcised people, and another is that they have received and are keeping the law given by God, and are serving God through that law. Therefore, they have lived with a strong pride that they are God's people. In ancient times, God appeared to Abraham and told him to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and go to the land he would show him, and Abraham obeyed that word by faith, left his hometown, and went forth to the place God was leading him. Also, God promised Abraham that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and Abraham believed that word exactly as it was. God saw that faith and considered Abraham a righteous man and the forefather of faith, and blessed him to form a nation. That is how the nation of Israel came to be today. And they are the Jews. These Jews received circumcision and also received the law from God, and according to the commands of that law, they believed in Jehovah God, kept those commands, and followed in obedience. Also on their bodies, the mark of circumcision received on the eighth day after birth remains on every male. Due to the fact that they have these two things together, they came to harbor the pride that they are the true people of God. So when Jesus Christ came, they did not accept Jesus, but rejected him. Originally, they were a people who believed in God. They were a specially chosen nation among countless nations, and they alone were the people who received God's law. Also, as descendants of Abraham, they were those who were called the true people of God. Nevertheless, because they did not accept Jesus as the Savior, the Apostle Paul is revealing their reality in this way in this part. In conclusion, it is like this. Even if they are Jews who have the law, if they do not keep God's commands, even circumcision, which is the token that they are God's children, becomes invalid. On the other hand, even a Gentile who has not received the law from God, or a person who has not received circumcision, if they discern right and wrong by their own conscience and practice and keep the duties they ought to do in their relationships with people, it can be said that they are rather better than those who have the law, or those who have received circumcision. Those who teach but do not actually practice. Today's message may feel somewhat complicated, but to summarize it simply, it is this. Right now, the Apostle Paul is talking about the spiritual reality of the Jews, and what we must know through this word is the reality of today's established Christians. Established Christians who are practicing the law say they have received God's commands and the love of the cross of Jesus Christ, and they pride themselves on living according to God's will. They consider themselves as guides to the blind, instructors of the foolish, and teachers of infants. They think that they are better than those who do not believe in Jesus, and that they can lead such people. However, even if these established Christians say they know Jesus and know God's laws and commandments, and try to live knowing and keeping the commandments reaching up to 613, including the commandment to love your neighbor, in reality, while teaching others to do so, they themselves actually fail to keep them. Those who say do not serve idols are serving idols. Those who say do not steal are stealing. And those who say do not commit adultery are committing adultery. Because of this, just as God's works were blasphemed among the Gentiles due to the nation of Israel in the old days, today Jesus is being criticized due to established Christians. It is written like this in verse 24 of the main text, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." Because of established Christians who have learned incorrectly and only hold on to the blood of the cross and only rely on the law, God is receiving great criticism. Rather, because of Christians, the number of people who do not want to believe in Jesus is increasing. They themselves think they are giving glory to God while living their life of faith. But the reality of today is that God is actually being criticized because of those who believe in Jesus. The Bible is speaking this accurately. The Apostle Paul rebukes, asking if the person who considers himself a light to those in darkness and a guide to the blind, teaches others but does not actually teach himself. He is asking, "You who say do not steal, are you not stealing? You who say do not commit adultery, are you not committing adultery? You who say do not serve idols, are you not serving idols?" The reality today is that those who teach not to do such things in the church are rather doing such things even more. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is saying that because of the Jews, and also because of today's Christians, God's name is being blasphemed, criticized, and despised. Outward circumcision and the law alone are insufficient. Whether one has received circumcision, whether one's nation has received the law before God, whether one has become an established Christian and only knows the blood of the cross and believes in Jesus as the Savior, or whether one strives to live according to God's word, no matter how much one believes in God and dedicates one's life by outwardly equipping all rituals and forms, a person who has not received circumcision inwardly in the heart is ultimately a person who brings disgrace to God. If a person who has received circumcision or a person who has the law fails to live according to God's will, that circumcision also becomes useless, and that law also becomes useless. On the other hand, even a person who has not received the law and has not received circumcision, if they live rightly in relationships with people according to the law of their conscience, even if they are a person who serves other gods, perhaps it could be said that they are better than a person who has received circumcision or a person who has the law. However, both types of people are wrong. Because our faith being recognized is not from people but only from God. This is the word that the Apostle Paul is summarizing in Romans chapter 2. Namely, it means that one must receive spiritual circumcision, inward circumcision. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. This word means that you and I must receive circumcision in the heart. Only when there is this faith that the Lord came to this earth, took charge of our sins once and for all by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, and saved us by receiving judgment on the cross for us, is one a true people of God. And only then can one receive recognition from God. Even among those who have received the removal of sins, there may be parts that bring disgrace to God due to shortcomings, but those who have that faith are indeed true Christians. The one who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the one who has received circumcision in the heart. Among people who live a life of faith, there are those who believe in the blood of the cross, believe that Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, and strive to live according to God's word. Whether they live like that or not, only when they know and believe in their hearts that the Lord came to this earth as the Savior, took charge of all their sins by receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the age of 30, and solved all their sin problems by receiving judgment for sin on the cross, can they receive recognition from God? A person who does not is not only without any benefit even if they believe in Jesus, but a person who has not had their sin problem solved by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, rather becomes a person who brings disgrace before God. Some people say this regarding the main text. If a person who has received circumcision does not keep the law, when a person who knows neither the law nor circumcision practices the law well according to the law of conscience, is he not rather better than the one who has received circumcision or the one who has the law? The Apostle Paul exhorts not to stay in such discussions, and not to stand in the middle being neither this nor that, but to receive true circumcision. It means that one must receive circumcision inwardly in the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh, and must have faith in the heart. He is saying that only when one has the faith, believing that the Lord came to this earth and solved all our sins by receiving baptism, is one a true people of God. However, failing to understand this and not knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, among those who have not had their sin problem solved by the truth of salvation given by the Lord, there emerge those who argue like this. They say the law is completely useless, and there is only grace. And since God gave circumcision before the law, a person who has circumcisional faith is right. So they say that even if we do not live well according to the law, if we believe in the blood of the cross and believe that all sins have disappeared, even if there are shortcomings, we are saved people. However, this is a wrong argument that has fallen into the theory of the uselessness of the law. Is the law really without any meaning? If asked what the law is, in a word, it is God's command. The entire word of the Bible is all law and command. Saying do this or do not do this is not the only command. The Ten Commandments are not the only commands. And the 613 commandments are not the only commands. To love your brother and to love one another, which appear in the New Testament, are also all God's commands. Telling us to serve the Lord is also a command. Telling us not to commit sin is also a command. And all of these are God's commands. Even in the New Testament era, God's commands are still alive and can never disappear. Therefore, the Lord said, "Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law." Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, and taught that the fulfillment of the law is Jesus Christ. God is alive, and God's commands are still being handed down to us even until now. When we fail to live according to those commands, knowing in our hearts that Jesus Christ saved us through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and receiving the obliteration of sins by faith, this is exactly God's will. It is God's will to make us God's children, and it is also God's will to make us live like God's children. The one who has received circumcision in the heart is the one whose sins have been cut off. He said, "Circumcision is that of the heart, and among you, who would be a person who believes in Jesus properly?" A person who believes properly is a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. A person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit has received circumcision in his heart because he believes that Jesus has solved all his shortcomings and this sin and that sin. Sin has been cut off and cut away. Because the Lord took those sins and received judgment for them, there is no sin. It is not that only half of the sin remains and half is cut away, but all sins have been completely cut away. The Lord came to this earth and completely took away our sins from their very roots. By receiving baptism on his body, he took charge of our sins, and by hanging on the cross and shedding blood, he saved us from sin, judgment, and curses. The faith that believes God has saved us, that is, those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, are the saved people and God's people. Those who have such faith are the true people of God. They can do God's will. They can have their faith recognized by God. And through them, even if they are lacking, God receives glory. There are those who ask why sin does not disappear even though they believed in Jesus who died for us on the cross. That is because we continue to commit sins as we live. We commit sins due to our shortcomings, and when we first believed in Jesus who hung on the cross, we clearly feel that we have received the removal of sins. However, as we continue to commit sins while living between a father and a child, we can confess and ask for forgiveness, but that does not stop at once or twice. Because we repeatedly commit sins until we die, going before the Lord of the cross to confess sins and ask for forgiveness eventually becomes something we simply cannot handle later on. The cross is so precious, and we are so thankful that he saved us by sacrificing so much. But if we continue to commit sins even after receiving the blotting out of sins, we eventually give up because we ourselves have no shame. So whenever we commit a sin, we feel the pangs of conscience, thinking that I am nailing Jesus to the cross again. However, people who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit are not like that. Those who truly believe are those who believe that Jesus took charge of our sins by receiving baptism, took away the sins of the world, and solved everything by hanging on the cross and shedding blood. Because a person who believes like that clearly knows that the Lord took away the sins and received that judgment, even if there are shortcomings while living, their heart can be renewed at any time. A heart that had become dirty can become clean, and they can live a new life at any time. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And he said that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, so they are a new person at any time. Because they are a new creation at any time. Because sin has fallen away. Because the Lord took away the sins, received the judgment, and solved everything. Whenever they are lacking, they go before the Lord, acknowledge what they did wrong, and come to know that all those sins have already been solved by the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, they can do righteous deeds at any time, and can live with a clean, clear, and new heart like white snow. Therefore, he says, circumcision is that of the heart. A person who has received circumcision in the heart, that is, a person who has received the extinction of sins by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, receives recognition from God. Thus, they receive God's love. God entrusts them with work, and we can do the holy work entrusted by God and are doing that work even now. All of this is God's grace. We must become honest people before God. The faith of established Christians is very wrong. Pastors teach church members. Church members teach those who do not believe in Jesus, and they teach the Word of God to one another. But what would be the conclusion of that? Because they do not know and do not believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, their sins cannot fall away, and they are still bound by sin every day. Therefore, they have no choice but to be hypocritical. As their positions go up, they must pretend to be holy, so they ultimately end up pursuing a sanctified life by their own strength. Some pastors preach this kind of sermon. They say that a certain faithful entrepreneur operated a business without lying before God, and although he experienced difficulties at first, rumors spread that it was an honest business. So consumers flocked in, and he became very rich. Therefore, they teach that when Christians who believe in Jesus run a business, if they operate it honestly, God will bless them. However, whenever I hear such sermons, I feel a sense of pity. Originally, a business is run to leave a profit. Making and selling goods legitimately without threatening or scamming others, but setting the price according to one's own standard cannot be called dishonest. People who believe in Jesus do not believe in Jesus merely to become socially honest people. Of course, God told us to become honest people. But in what aspect did He tell us to become honest people? He did not tell us to become honest people in operating a business, but He told us to become honest people before God. Do we not commit sins every day even after believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit? We commit sins, but a person who acknowledges that God loved us and sent His Son to this earth, and that the Son took charge of our sins by receiving baptism, died on the cross, and resurrected from death to save us, is an honest person. When he asks, "Are you not a lump of sin that commits sin all your life? I have taken charge of all those sins and eliminated them through my Son. Do you believe it?" The person who says, "Yes, I believe," is an honest person. An honest person is such a person. If the Lord had not eliminated my sins with the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, I am a person with sin. Because the Lord has eliminated all my sins, I am going to heaven. I believe. A person who confesses like this is exactly an honest person. And after receiving the removal of sins, one lives by working with all one's best and serving the gospel. What did David say after he committed a sin? He confessed that if God says, "I have sin," I have sin. And if God says, "I have no sin," I have no sin. Psalm 51 is exactly that word. We must receive recognition not before people, but before God. And we must become honest people before God. If we become honest people before God like that, we naturally become honest people before people as well. One must believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit with the heart. Today, pastors must repent first. They must believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and return. It means they are still holding on to a faith of being sinners even now. What of that faith must be changed? They must change from a faith that only believes in the blood of the cross to a faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Thus, they must receive spiritual circumcision by faith in their hearts. They must cut off sin by faith. They must accept with faith in Jesus Christ that the Lord received baptism, died on the cross, and resurrected from death. Otherwise, they are still sinners. How can a sinner serve God and live for God? A sinner must first receive the grace of salvation by believing the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit before God. Trying to offer something to God in the status of a sinner is a foolish thing. It is like a beggar going to a rich man and saying he will give a certain amount from the money he got by begging today. Would the rich man welcome that? First, one's own faith must stand upright. One must believe in Jesus properly. The Apostle Paul is continuously telling this story in Romans chapters 1 and 2 with a frustrated heart. From chapter 4, while talking about faith, he unfolds that truth in earnest from chapter 6 to those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Being crucified together with Christ, dying together with Christ, and coming alive together with Christ is expressed by baptism. Coming to Romans chapter 6, he is speaking the truth of being baptized together with Christ, dying together with Christ, and coming alive together with Christ. If we think that the faith of believing only in the cross of Jesus and the faith of believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit are only slightly different, we cannot evangelize. If we do not know exactly in what parts the people who believe in Jesus are wrong, we cannot preach the gospel to them. Because between them and us, not only the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different, but our living is different. Our believing is different, and everything is different. Whether one is a deacon, an elder, or a pastor, what meaning would the title have? Are you a sinner or not? If a person who does not believe in Jesus is a sinner, and if one is still a sinner while claiming to believe in Jesus, if one is a sinner before believing in Jesus and a sinner after believing, it means there is ultimately no difference. However, this difference is tremendous. It is not a slight difference. The difference between us who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and those who do not is truly tremendous. You will also know that there is a great difference between the people who, by believing in Jesus, have received the obliteration of sins by knowing through faith the fact that the Lord completely took away their sins by the roots, and the people who are gradually resolving their sins in a way of resolving the sin committed today, and resolving the sin committed tomorrow. The faith of established Christians is exactly like that. Therefore, we must preach the gospel to them, and we cannot help but preach it. In this world, there are many people whose outward appearance of faith is splendid and who have deep learning. Whether they have a doctoral degree, are known for great spirituality, or have lived praying in a mountain valley all their lives, if they have sin in their hearts even after believing in Jesus, they are not a person who has received circumcision in the heart. Since they are a person who has not received circumcision in the heart, in reality, they are nothing. You who have received circumcision in the heart by faith are 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times better than them. You are indeed the ones qualified to do God's work, and they are merely subjects who are still in sin and need to be saved. Nothing more and nothing less. In the Apostle Paul's view, the Jews are nothing, the Gentiles are nothing, the people who say they believe in God well are nothing, and the people who say they have and keep the law or the teachers who teach the law are nothing. It means they are no different from believers who believe in other religions. It means that before God, all people were sinners. That is why one must receive circumcision in the heart. One must not receive it outwardly, but inwardly in the heart. Conclusion. Only those who have received circumcision in the heart are recognized by God. Have you received circumcision in the heart? You say you believe, but by chance, because you know it only in theory and know it only with the head. There can be cases where sin has not been cut off from the heart. Those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit are those whose sin has been cut off from the heart. Even if lacking parts in oneself are revealed, because the Lord took away even those sins, the sin has fallen away, and that is exactly receiving circumcision. However, a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit only with the head and does not believe with the heart still has sin remaining in that heart. That sin does not fall away. If one says with the mouth that one knows and believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit, but does not accept it with the heart, the sin is right there exactly as it is. Therefore, he said, circumcision is that of the heart, in the Spirit, not in the letter. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. When one knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit with the heart, acknowledges one's own sin with the heart, and acknowledges with the heart that the Lord has eliminated all our sins with the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that is exactly receiving circumcision in the heart and receiving salvation by believing with the heart. For people who have not received circumcision in the heart, the fruits do not appear properly as they live on. While saying they live for the gospel, they constantly end up calculating. They do not place their interest in how much the Lord's will has been accomplished, but they end up placing their heart in how much what they aimed for has been accomplished. Therefore, only when one receives circumcision in the heart can one do God's work, be recognized by God, receive blessings, and receive blessings both spiritually and physically while doing God's work. Have you really received spiritual circumcision in the heart? If you have received it, it is a pass. If you have not received it, it is a failure. Then what should be done? You just need to receive circumcision in the heart. What must be done to receive circumcision in the heart? One must be honest before God and must acknowledge the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. What is today's main text teaching? It is that the one who does the law is nothing. The one who received circumcision is nothing. And the person who lived conscientiously is also nothing. It is that only the person who has received circumcision in the heart receives recognition from God, and only the person who acknowledges and believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit receives circumcision in the heart. because we have sinned to go to hell. If left as it is, we are bound to go to hell. Because the wages of sin is death. However, the Lord came to this earth and to save us, took charge of the sins of mankind once and for all by receiving baptism from John the Baptist. And he was crucified, died, and resurrected from death. The reason he came to this earth and received baptism was to take charge of our sins, and the reason he was crucified, shed blood, and died was to receive the judgment for my sins and your sins. One must know and believe with the heart that his death is my death and your death, and his coming alive is my coming alive and your coming alive. Then, one receives circumcision in the heart. Beloved everyone, as those who have received circumcision in the heart, we must be honest before God and live holding on to the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the end. Even though we may be lacking, we just need to receive circumcision in the heart. And we just need to unite with the church and do the will that pleases God. However, a person who has not received circumcision in the heart cannot unite with God, cannot unite with the church, and cannot do anything. As time goes by, they will become more and more divided. Therefore, I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we ourselves first receive circumcision in the heart, and also fulfill to the end the mission of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit to Christians all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen.